Marathon meeting yesterday for the Board of Supervisors covering a lot of topics, most of them pandemic-related. On the KSRO live line with us, Supervisor Shirley Zane. Lots of public comment yesterday, too, Supervisor Zane.
We started at noon, and we took, I think, 1 half-hour dinner break, and we went till about 9:30 at night. So it was a very long, long night.
Yeah, and it was long for a number of good reasons. Let's start with enforcement.
Okay.
And enforcement of the public health officers, meaning that as of now, there are fines that can be levied against individuals and businesses. Question, Supervisor Zane, who is going to enforce that?
That's a great question, and this, you know, basically the ordinance applies to the whole county, but cities can also enact their own fines. It allows government departments outside of law enforcement, so staff such as environmental health and code enforcement permitting. So it's, by and large, it's not going to be law enforcement, but there will be some if needed. It just depends what the violation is and how we find out about it.
It sounds like nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to enforce this, these issues.
No. We had over 1,000 calls to the sheriff's office since the pandemic began, and there were only like 2% that where there was any type of consequence. And some people will say that's a really that's really the problem, and I think they have a point there, because we have to enforce, because what good is an order unless you're going to enforce it? And so does it need to be enforced? I personally think, and I've advocated for, that public health officers are the best to enforce, because it is a public health issue. And there's a lot of sensitivity right now with the whole issue of racism in America. If you have law enforcement coming down hard on the Latino community has 4 times as much infection rates as the Anglo community, so it's steep, and so we do need to be doing community engagement. We do need to be doing outreach, and we do have a phone line now that you can call or report in. It's 833-SAFE-707. So it's pretty easy to remember, 833-SAFE-707.
And so, even with the considerations of the Latino community so incredibly impacted by COVID-19, I'm sure that most people would agree that any enforcement would have to be enforcement across the board and for everyone equally.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we're going to spend a lot of time and effort and money doing a community engagement plan where we reach out to the Latino community in particular through radio and television and Latina newspapers, Latinx newspapers. So I think the concession or the consensus on the board was really we need to do better outreach in the Latino community. We just haven't done as much. But recognizing that they are, by and large, the service employees. They're the ones that are the essential employees that are having the most contact with people. And they also have overcrowded housing because we have not done our duty to build enough sufficient affordable housing. So that's the other issue, too.
Let's talk about IOLERO, the department that oversees the sheriff's department. And it sounds like it was unanimous last night to move that measure to the November ballot.
It absolutely was. I don't know how many people in all came out. I think we had over 200 people testify. The board had initially suggested that we put in an amendment clause that where the board could amend it on a 4/5 vote, and that didn't fly too well, so we took that out. And then the other thing, too, that they wanted to make sure is that we were going to use at least 1% of the sheriff's budget, and we can't constitutionally take that out of the sheriff's budget. We can take it wherever we want to take it, maybe general fund or other means, the tourism tax. But they did wanted to make sure that we were going to fund it adequately, and I agree. I mean, the sheriff has a big budget, so 1% is not that much. And then that we're going to hire, basically, it doesn't have to be a California lawyer. It's very hard to pass the bar in California. And there's a lot of good people and attorneys and people that are doing this work in other states. So we didn't want to. The public said, look, don't bind that person. But the public was very outspoken, very uncivil at times, very rude at times, and lots of profanity and personal attacks, too. Which
Yeah, there was quite a fair amount of profanity during the public comment period.
There was a lot of profanity,
and I
think per Chairwoman Gorin, to her credit, chaired the meeting throughout, and they really attacked her, and that was really unfortunate, because this isn't personal. It's about policy, you know? And she had worked on this really hard, and she had some suggestions that they didn't like. But they did not need to attack her personally. That just, it really discredits the whole cause and movement when you attack people personally like that. Because IOLERO, the Evelyn Cheatham Ordinance, is all about keeping a check and accountability on law enforcement, recognizing how hard their job is, but also holding them accountable. And it is about the racism and whether we all get the same types of treatment based upon the color of our skin. So that goes back to objectifying people. And you don't look at people as objects and treat them like that. And that's what happened last night with a lot of the protesters and the people who were there to advocate. And a lot of them were great. There was one woman who shared about her son being dying in the jail recently of a suicide. And I just started sobbing, and our wonderful clerk, who was giving everybody 1 minute, and this was going into a 9 o'clock hour, she just said, "Nope, go ahead, keep sharing."
Yeah. Sometimes you have to do that for sure.
Sometimes you do have to do that.
Well, we'll see what the public has to say about the IOLERO measure in November as we move forward. So many things to tackle, and the eviction moratorium in Sonoma County remains in place. Correct?
It does remain in place. We were decide to wait a couple more weeks just because the state is making some significant changes with two bills that we have supported, and if they pass, there'll be a lot of things set in motion, and then with the governor's office too. So we want to align ourselves with the state on the eviction moratorium, and recognizing that people are very anxious over this, and we want to make sure that we don't have more homeless. So we want to do it right, Pat. That's the thing. We want to take care of our renters, but also realize that there's people that are landlords that could go into foreclosure too. So it's really stepping back and looking at all the players here.
It's a tough issue on both sides, to be sure.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the business considerations of providing more paid sick time for employees. And where does the board stand on that? I mean, is the board united in this particular regard for in advance of the vote on August 18th?
Yeah, it was, we are united. It was very, I mean, there's some that, you know, are going to be more conservative about what we allow, but I'll say that the highlight of the evening was when Linda Hopkins said, why don't we allow for child paid sick time in these situations? Why do we have to be so stingy? It's because we don't value our children. And we put such a low, you know, child care workers are so grossly underpaid. So anyway, it was very confusing because there's a lot of different movement parts, and even the lawyers were going, we're confused, we're trying to explain this to you. But the point about valuing child care when somebody needs to stay home with a sick child, it really rose to the top. And Linda Hopkins made a beautiful speech about it, having three young children at home right now, including a one-year-old. And I said, hey, I'm with her. This is an issue that we cannot ignore as moms and dads. And Susan chimed in too.
All the female-led majority all said yes on this. So a formal vote on that issue coming up on the 18th of August. And as we move forward, thank you for weighing in on all of the topics of import yesterday, Supervisor Zane. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Don't forget the warm line if people need to talk. It's been very hard to go through this. It just sometimes feels the uncertainty, and it just goes on and on. And so we do have a warm line. I believe that's on your website, too.
Yes, it is.
Yes. And then we also have the new phone number for reporting somebody, and it is anonymous also.
Very good. I think that will make a difference. Supervisor Zane, thank you for being here. Appreciate that.